Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program as we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question about something that's said on this program, or if you have a Bible question or a Bible subject that you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us with the information given by the announcer or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. What I want us in our study today is to look at divine authority as it relates to the creation. You know, one who is in authority has the right to command, the right to enforce obedience, and the right to administer punishment. When one having ultimate authority empowers others to act upon his will, he is authorizing the action. And yet one that assumes authority that's not granted by the one with ultimate authority, he's acting presumptuously, and he flaunts all authority. In divine matters, authority can be seen in creation. In Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. And in verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. If there is no divine creator, then there's no creation. The universe is just a product of chance. Man is just an accident of nature. And there is no basis for moral or spiritual authority. And this is the assertion that secular humanists operate from. They say there is no God, and they say that man is the measure of himself. But if God created the universe, then order flows from his power to make whatever exists. There's an interesting chapter in Job, chapter 38, where it says that God asked the question, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Well, Job didn't have any more understanding of it than you and I or anyone today, because we weren't there. No one was there except God and the Godhead. So if we start with the assertion that God is, then the existence and the order in the universe makes sense. If God made it all, and it functions according to his power, then we are spared all of this hand-wringing about global warming, the depleting of the ozone, the running out of water, the running out of food, the running out of wood, and all of the other anxieties that are concocted in the mind of the humanist. Now, this isn't to say that we should not be good stewards of all that God has given us, for indeed he did make it for us. In Genesis 1, we read in verses 28 through 30. He that made it, though, is still in charge. Man, in all of his wisdom, can't form one drop of dew on the ground. Man, in all of his wisdom, can't make it rain. And man, in all of his wisdom, cannot stay the terrifying rumble of an earthquake, and man, in all of his wisdom, can't stop the force of a tornado or a hurricane. The authority of the Almighty rules in the universe. But also there is order in the moral realm. God made man. We see that and read it a moment ago in Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27. Therefore, man is subject to divine law. If there is no God, there's no basis for moral order. All crime and immorality grows out of a disrespect for divine authority. If man evolved by chance, he has no standard for moral behavior except whatever he imposes upon himself. And truly, this is how situation ethics originated. But if God made us, God has the right to determine what is moral conduct and to call us into account for disregarding his authority over us. In fact, this is the very point that Paul made in Athens there on Mars Hill in Acts chapter 17. We begin our reading in verse 24. God that made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he giveth to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all of the face of the earth, and has determined the pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord, in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shapen by art and man's devisions. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Now I want us to notice again, go back up to verse 24. God that made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Verse 26. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. Now look at verse 28. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. And then verse 30. Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. What does God want all men everywhere to do? To repent. Why? Why does God want all men everywhere to repent? Well, let's read verse 31. Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. Do we see the progression? God made us. God expects something of us. And he will call us to account for that responsibility. You see, the Creator has authority over the creature. Paul's question to the Romans, I think, is very needful. In Romans, the 9th chapter, we read in verse 20, shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Has not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? You know, with notable exceptions, the morals in this nation are a shambles. How do we come to such a sad state of affairs? Well, I believe it's here in Romans 9 that we read the answer. The creature has scorned the Creator. The creature has scorned his Creator. We're fallen into the very same pit that the Gentile nations plunged into. All you got to do is go back to the book of Romans, to chapter 1 and start the reading at about verse 18, and you'll see that we are where they were. When they knew God, what? They glorified Him not. Did they have abundant evidence of His power, of His majesty? Oh, yes. They had the whole universe as a testimony to His existence and to His power. Let's begin a reading of verse 18, Romans chapter 1. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. See, when they knew God, they glorified Him not. That's what we're doing today. Even though they had abundant evidence, that abundant evidence is still just as visible and abundant today as it was then. Yet, truly, the universe, as it even stands today, is a testimony to God's existence and to God's power. And true, as they did, so do we today. They boast of their great wisdom, yet it's in reality that they become fools. Their hearts became darker and darker. They made idols to fulfill that inner desire to worship something. You know, that's the interesting thing about the human species, is that it's in the nature of human beings to worship something. And that's never changed, and it never will. But the end result, as we saw here in Romans 1, was what? It was more chaos. And is that not what we are approaching, if we have not already approached, in our society today? Everything is allowed. Everything is permitted. How and why did this happen? Well, the creature lost respect for the Creator. But back to what Paul said in Athens there on Mars Hill in Acts 17. He said in verse 27, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each of us. Friends, happy is the one who seeks the Lord, who gropes after Him and finds Him, because really, He is not far from every one of us. And truly, we have the evidence in the creation all around us. That tells us that there is a God. And friends, you and I have access to a book that's called the Bible. That is a book that is the revelation of the mind of God. We can know not only that there is a God from creation, but we can know what God's will for us is today through the New Testament that He has left in written form that we can read and understand. Friends, we see your time is gone. We appreciate so much your listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. Until then, we bid you a pleasant good day, and we now return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.